You were playing pretty different than anybody else around at the time. How much leeway did Bill Monroe give you as to how you backed up, how you played, what you played? How much direction did he put in himself?
Well, you know, the direction was quite clear, but it wasn't very verbal. He didn't tell me what to do or what not to do, but he somehow made me understand what's supposed to work in that music and what isn't. And I found when I went down there, I was loading in melodic stuff all over the place. You know, I mean, you know how it is when you learn a new thing or you've got a new thing. You use too much of it, and then you finally determine the balance. Well, I really learned that, you know, certain tunes, it depends on the tune. Some tunes are old time in nature and you can't move them uptown. They have to stay real simple and right sounding in a certain musical aesthetic that's very sparse, very simple. Other tunes have more harmonic potential. You can put more in them, you can get a little crazier with them. And then there's more modern tunes that start to be moving out of the, you can't even call them bluegrass anymore. They might be banjo music, but they don't fit into Bill Monroe's thing. And somehow I came to realize, while playing with him, what I was supposed to be doing and what works and what doesn't work. He would play musical examples. If I did something that he liked, I might see him react a little, but he never say anything exactly, you see. While he's running over licks, you listen to it closely and you kind of see how he's meaning it. It's very hard to say, but I think you just have to learn. You learn things by watching and you learn by an example that he's setting. More so than just by his, you know, he never does explain stuff. You know, that's the way it worked for me. Any other questions we can, yes. Well, yeah, this is a brand new instrument to me. I wanted to get it set up. I was working on it under my tent this morning, putting the tuning pegs on it and new set of strings, and I repositioned the tailpiece and got the bridge finally about right. Didn't get around to check out the head tension, but this is a brand new banjo. I'm really not quite at home on it yet. It's made by Rich and Taylor. It's you won't see too many with the inlay patterns like the those clouds. This thing is kind of neat. Well, it's similar to a master tone generally, but it has a sort of a special tone ring that they're using, and of course, they putting them together has a lot to do with the way they sound too. But this is, they came to me and asked if I'd like to work with them on putting a banjo together that's like what I'm used to playing, which means a top tension style. Using this price tailpiece and the moon bridge, having a set of the tuners on it. So this is what's the result, and they put my name down here instead of the word master tone. This is the Bill Keith model, Rich and Taylor top tension. And if you want to take a closer look, you're welcome to come up afterwards. I happen to know a little bit about Steve's banjo, so I can tell you something about it too. It's a unique instrument. It was made by a maker in Belgium using parts that were available through mail order sources here in the States. But all the woodwork, which is very nice, is custom. It's one of a kind. And of course, it's a challenge for our life. That means there's a bunch of chords for it too, and it sounds like do. If I'm in that key, instead of moving up directly like this, or in another kind of sound of chords, can you hear the scale in there and that kind of four-note harmony? Well, this song, it's going to work out of that scale. It goes. You hear how those chords are sounding like? Something like that effect. Well, if you got anything out of that, you'll hear it happening partly in this tune. So I'll sit back and watch.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.